spiritual warfare is not your mate trying to argue with you. Father, that's the demons right now. Father, I just begin to cast that out right now. I take authority. You don't need to take authority over your mate. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But your biggest warfare is whether or not you're going to do what God wants you to do.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World. Many of you are in a season now at the beginning of the year where we are focusing on prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you that this is the time like never before for the people of God to call on the Lord and seek His face and give us His divine wisdom and His power so that we can make it through another year. Join us now as I share this message to keep on praying.
At the beginning of the year, I mentioned it is our goal this year that the Light of the World Christian Fellowship is to be a house of prayer. And if we're going to be a house of prayer, it will be because in the house there are people of prayer. Because in the house you will have people who pray.
Amen.
I had to speak at a church yesterday morning, and they gave me a sermon title, and it was about prayer. And my title was, What Happened When Men Pray? And as I thought about that and tried to work with that, I opened my sermon by saying the same thing that happened when men pray that happened when women pray. Nothing special happened when men pray. In fact, it seems that very little happened when men pray, because when I come to the prayer meeting, it's mostly women. So if we can get men to pray, maybe I can have something to say. Amen. After saying all of that, and the women were, yes, yeah, you're right, Pastor. I said that I think it is worth mentioning, however, that the person that God put in charge has a different attention that is gathered by the Lord. On your job, your boss can say one thing, but when the big boss come in, it's another thing. So the man that God puts in charge, when you're a married wife and your husband is saved, both of y'all saved, you can pray and God will hear you pray. He'll answer your prayer. But God always want to know, well, what did the one I put in charge say? Secondly, when there is a mother in the home that's praying and the father is not, the children, especially the male children, have a tendency to follow the man more than the woman. These are not on my notes, but I'm just sharing with you. So if the woman is praying and the man is not, then the male son is going to say, I don't have to do that. That's a woman's job. But I do believe that although the results may not be different, I just think God lean a little bit further when he hears somebody says, now, Father, I come to you, and I'm asking you on the behalf of my family to move in a supernatural way. This is how God works. Remember what happened in the garden when they ate the forbidden fruit? Eve, then Adam. When God came, he didn't look for Eve, and he didn't even say nothing about Eve. He says, she ain't in this, except that you're in this. Adam, where are you? And people say, Adam wasn't there. You know, well, I mean, how are you going to eat that fruit if he wasn't there? I believe he saw her eat it. Then the woman gave some to him, and he ate it. God said, now, I told you, Adam, I gave you the instructions. So what happened when men pray? What happened when women pray? What happened when we all pray? We can get results if we continue to pray. I thank God for those who gather faithfully each Sunday morning at 8:30 and pray over our sanctuary. They come in here and they pray over the chairs and over the instruments and over you even though you may not have even come yet. You may not even get here till after service began, but they were praying for you. I thank those who gather each Tuesday at noon and pray over the pastor and the people of the church and the requests for prayer that we have received. I'm thankful for the men who were here this past Tuesday as we prayed over our homes and our families and asked God's grace and blessing for you. When we were here Tuesday, we prayed that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power in his spirit, in your inner being. That's what we prayed for you. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Now, if you've been here for the last several months, you should be aware that our theme this year and our emphasis this year is release the power. And somebody might say, what power? This is the power that Paul spoke of in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, he talked about this power. In fact, if you would read Ephesians beginning at chapter 1, verse 1, he's talking about all the things that God has given us and all of the riches and inheritance and all of those things. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul is praying for the church and he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. It would take me a month and a half to preach out that passage, and maybe longer than that. Paul prayed for the church that the eyes of their understanding, it says in the King James, the eyes of your understanding would be open so that you will know. Paul says, I want you to know. He says, I want you to know this. I want you to understand this. I want you to know something. And listen, saints, you're going to have to know what you know what you know. If you're going to release power, you're going to have to know that you have it. You're going to know why you got it. You have to know where you got it from. You're going to have to know you have some power. He says, I want you to know. I'm praying that you might know. What does he want you to know? He said, I don't want you to guess. I don't want you to wonder. I don't want you to consider it. You should know for sure, number one, of the hope that he's called you. Secondly, I want you to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I want you to know what you got coming. See, some of you don't know what you got coming, so that's why you're not that interested. That's why you're not that consistent. That's why you may not be that faithful. That's maybe why you're not that passionate about it, because you don't know what you got coming. He said, thirdly, I want you to know his, now look at how he described this. I want you to know his incomparably great power. He didn't just say, I want you to know his power. He says, I want you to know this incomparably great power. Not just this power, the kind of power it is. We ain't just talking about power. If you knew what you had, you'd be said, don't you hit that note. Let's go back to that text again. He says, verse 19, and his incomparably great power who believe. And then he said, that power. He said, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that power. Somebody say that power. Because you're going to have to know what kind of power you got. That power, he says, as opposed to any other power, that's the kind of power I want you to know about. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him up from the grave. That's the kind of power I'm talking about. What do you think it took for him just to break the bonds of death, to get him out of that grave and to bring him up out of the underneath and raise him up? Well, you should have been there. That's the kind of power I'm talking about. We ain't just thinking about something to do a little something with you. That's an incomparably great power that's ready for those of you who believe. That's the kind of power we're talking about releasing. So when you're out and you pray for somebody, you pray and expect, say, I'm finna release some power. You better get ready. And then he goes on in Ephesians 3:20. He says this now as a result of that. He says, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, it's according to his power. It's the same power that is at work. Where? In us. Listen, if you don't feel something stirring down on the inside of you, you don't feel like you got no power, you need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, I don't feel nothing. Well, you better say, Lord, I need to plug in. Hallelujah. You don't mean that you're not saved. Go home and look at your television. It's not on, but it's got a little green light or a little red light on it. That means that it's plugged up, but the power switch ain't been hit. So you need to go home. You might be plugged up, but you need to hit the power switch so the thing will energize. Say, Lord, I know something's in there, but I can't hardly feel it. Ain't nothing working, seem like. Lord, fill me up again. Now, if we have this power and is able to do more than we can ask or imagine for his kingdom, there's something else we need to know. We need to know that there is an adversary, an enemy of God, and an enemy of you who do not want you to use that power. The devil been doing this long before we got here, so he knows about that power. He knows what happened when somebody know that they have it. And he knows what he's in for. If everybody in here knew what they had and would release it, he would say, man, we're going to get whooped this week. Because those folks at the light of the world know what they got, first of all. And they look like they're ready to use it. We better get busy. And he's going to get all of the forces of the kingdom of darkness and say, we got to put a preemptive strike on them. That's nothing to be scared of, because the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You remember when Jesus came to the demon-possessed man and everybody else was scared of him, and when Jesus walked up to him, the demon-possessed man said, I know you ain't coming in here to mess with me, not right now, are you? Why? Because they knew the power that was about to be energized and what was going to happen. We can't mess with him. No, no, no. But we have an adversary. So what I want to encourage you now that we've done 21 days of fasting and prayer, that was just the kickoff. Now you need to keep on praying. Because you let your guard down. He said, I'm going to see what's going to happen. You've been fasting and praying. I'm finna to come at you full force. Amen. There is an adversary. If you do use the power, he knows what might happen. You may just bring someone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus Christ if you use that power. If you use that power, someone who was about to lose their mind may be freed up. That oppression and that depression, they may come to God if you use that power. If you use that power, someone who's addicted and bound by drugs and alcohol and illicit behavior may be loosed and they may begin to serve God. If you use that power, someone who's lost and is without hope may hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and may come to Christ and get out of the grip of Satan and come to the saving cross of Jesus Christ if you use that power. And because you have the potential of the power, Paul encourages us to keep on keeping on in prayer. And I want you to see that very quickly in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. He says this to the church in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always do what? Keep on praying for all the saints, because all the saints is going to need the prayer. The King James says it this way, praying always in with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. That passage says you need to always keep on praying on every occasion, praying at all seasons with every kind of prayer in the sphere of the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit. Keep on praying. This is a good time to build your prayer life and to get ready and get to the place where whatever the devil send your way, you're already one step ahead of him because you've been praying in the Spirit. Then he says, keep it in mind. Always be alert and always keep on praying for yourself and for each other and for all the saints. Now, I want you to know that verse 18 that we just read is at the end of this passage that Paul is talking about putting on the whole armor of God. It's the passage about our warfare. Many of us know that passage. Paul is saying to the church to prepare for war, not conventional war, but a war against spiritual forces who wants to destroy your ability to release the power of God in your life. He wants to destroy that ability. He wants to get you so discouraged. He wants to get you distracted. He wants to get you defeated. He wants to put distance between you and the church. You're going to stop coming to church like you want to. Distance between your prayer life. Distance between your reading the Bible. You've got stuff going on. You've got issues. You've got all kinds of stuff. You're busy. You're trying to make some more money. You're trying to work overtime. You're doing everything to try to make your life work. And a lot of times we don't equate that with a strategy of the enemy to keep you from being connected and releasing the power. Jesus said this, as a matter of fact, don't you worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, what's coming into your house. He said the ungodly people, the people don't know me, they worry about that stuff. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add all of that to you. I know that if the enemy gets you worried about that stuff, you're not going to want to do anything I want you to do, and you won't release the power. Spiritual warfare is not your mate trying to argue with you. Father, that's the demons right now. Father, I just begin to cast that out right now. I take authority. You don't need to take authority over your mate. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But your biggest warfare is whether or not you're going to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Are you going to be available to God? Amen. That's the biggest warfare. Your biggest warfare is whether I'm going to go to church this morning. Baby, you coming? I don't know, baby. We went last Sunday. That's your warfare. Baby, you going to prayer? No, I'm tired. That's your warfare. Amen. You need to be reading your Bible. Oh, Lord, I'm just tired. That's your warfare. We know that passage where Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God and take our stand against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. And at the end of telling them to put on the whole armor, he tells them to keep on praying because the fight is on for the Christian soldier. But at the beginning of the passage, he tells them in verse 10, before he tells them about spiritual warfare and putting on the whole armor, and after he tells them first of all to be strong in the Lord. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We will be strong and we will keep our connection with God when we do these three things I want to mention to you. Here's your action plan. I don't know where you are, but I think all of us can be stronger. I can be stronger in the Lord. And I'm going to do these things as well. I want to put this out here for you. How do I position myself to be in a place where God can use my life and I can have the power of God flowing to me and through me so that I can make a difference wherever I'm at? Listen, you ought to be a difference maker. Amen. When you go to work, are you the one whose attitude everybody tries to avoid because you got issues? Don't y'all mess with me this morning. Or are you the one that people like to be around because you bring peace and joy and goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control? That's just the fruit of the Spirit. Why is the culture messed up like it is? It's not the culture. They're doing what they do. The people of God is not doing what God designed. That's why we're not making a difference. He put us here to be different makers. He didn't save you just so you can go to heaven. If he did, he'd have ended your life. As soon as you say, Lord, I want to give my life to you, the Lord said, okay, I got it. You through. No, he says, I'm saving you so you can go out and give some hope to somebody that don't have any hope. Give some help to somebody that don't have any help. You can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You can loose those that are bound, set the captives free. You can do the things that I'm doing. Jesus said, you will do greater works. Remember he said that? And I used to wonder, how can I do greater things than Jesus? I can't. But with my little part and your little part and your little part and you and you and you and you, all of us together working, we're going to do a whole lot more than he was able to do. So he never intended for the church to have church only. He never intended for your church life to be coming to church and stamping your ticket, says, I've been to church, now let me go and do the rest of the stuff I planned on doing today. And then don't think about it till next week. No, once you leave here, you ought to be engaged and you ought to be making a difference and the power of God ought to be flowing out of you. So wherever you go, somebody ought to be blessed. And when you are connected in the Spirit of God through prayer, God can talk to you. God can say, listen, go over there and talk to that person over there. Philip was on his way somewhere, and God said, see that man sitting in that chariot over there? Go talk to him. Philip said, I got somewhere to go, Lord. Lord said, you going to go? Yes, yes, sir. I'll go. He went over there. This was the Ethiopian sitting up there reading the books of Isaiah, scratching his head, said, what does this mean? And Philip come up there and he began to explain it to him. And the man says, man, I want to receive the Lord. Can I be baptized right now? He said, yes, I'll baptize you right now. His availability to the Lord won that man to the Lord. But if you ought to see what happened after that. Next thing the Bible said, the Lord translated Philip to get right where he wanted to be on time. See, he ain't going to mess you up when you release yourself to him. But if we're going to release the power, that means we have a connection where God can use us anytime, anywhere. And that's what God is wanting out of us. He's not going to take our life and take us someplace where he didn't already design for us to go. He want to use you right there in your workplace, right there with your visions, your dreams, the ideas that he puts in your life. He ain't going to mess you up. All he's going to do is make your life better. Amen. Do this. Number one, begin with your personal prayer life. Where are you at in your personal prayer life? Begin to dedicate intentional time in prayer with the Lord regularly, daily. And you can do that with all kinds at all times. Dedicated time of prayer. You may be praying now, and I'm not one of these that say we need to spend 1 hour of prayer each day. No, I'm not going to tell you that. But I'm going to tell you, whatever you're doing now, increase it. You know, I read a survey once that said most Christians pray less than 3 minutes a day. If prayer is one of the most powerful things we can do, why would we do it less than we do anything else?
This is Jerry G. Martin. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you to continue to seek the face of God. The Bible tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will hear you and I will heal your land. This is the time more than ever before to seek the face of God. We're going to be doing that all month long at the Light of the World. We're marshaling our prayer teams. Every one of our members are challenged to spend a time of fasting and prayer, and we want to make ourselves available to join you in your prayer need. Here's what I want you to do. If you have a need that we can join you in prayer with, why don't you let us know? You can reach us in three ways. You can call us at 281-964-1393. And give us your prayer request. I'm going to give you that number again in just a moment. You can email us at lowcf@lowcf.org. Or you can go to our website at lowcf.org. There's a place for you to leave a request there as well. Again, you can call us at 281-964-1393. Leave your name and your request. We're going to get it to our prayer team. No matter what you're going through, there may be sickness in your family. Someone may be recovering or having this virus. Someone just need to come to Christ. Whatever our needs are, we can go to God, and He says He will meet our need. We are praying for you. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.